Get out of the way. But I do want to get in your way. And I invite the Holy Spirit to be in my way. Let it run interference from my lips to your ears. Because if it does, that's who you'll hear. You'll hear, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." It will no longer be a state of confusion, but it will be a state of direction and of hope. On April the 16th, I got to go back a few days. On April the 16th, I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning. And when I woke up, the Lord said, "Get up." So I got up, not that my feet were dirty, but I felt like the Holy Spirit wanted me to shake. And it wasn't just me. He said, "I want you to shake the atmosphere of this world off of you." Our pastor last week said to us that, you know, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. Now, we can only get tied down, bogged down. You have to remember what the Word says. The Word says the cares of this life, the cares of this world, choke the Word of God. Won't allow it to do what it does. Normally, it brings life. Well, anyway, so listen to how God confirmed His Word that morning. See, I got this Jesus Speaks book, and I looked right at it that morning. And this is what it says. April 16th. How to know you are one of my sheep. See, I just heard His voice. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and my sheep know me. This is very important. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they will follow me. For years, and I mean years, I've been teaching in Sunday school that my sheep know my voice and none other will they follow. That's very important to know that. You know, when you get a teacher, when you get a teacher that's filled with the Holy Spirit, you recognize the Holy Spirit within her. When you get somebody that leads singing with the Holy Spirit, you recognize the Holy Spirit within them. When you get a coach that's filled with zeal, you recognize the zeal within them. But listen to what it says. When humanity stands before many will think that they are my sheep. They will call me Lord, and I will tell them of the miracles they worked in my name. But I will respond, "I never knew you. Depart from me. You who have practiced lawlessness." Here is what sets my sheep apart from all others. I know my sheep, and they know me. They have been born again and have become joined to me. The whole direction of their lives change. I want somebody to lift their hand. If when you met the Lord, you invited Him into your life, it changed. We could do both hands. I don't know about you, but I'm still in the process of changing. I haven't come to where Jesus is, but guess what? That's my mark. That's the mark. He's the mark. It said, they used to follow their own paths, doing whatever they wanted, pursuing their own desires. But when they were born of the Spirit, they began to hear my word. And do them. I remember I was at camp, real quick. I was at camp. The front of the altar became the front of the choir. Anybody know what row I was sitting in? Front row. Front row. All I had to do is get up, get back on my knees, and ask Jesus for forgiveness. Ask Him for healing in my body and in my mind. And do you know that from that moment on, I started hearing His voice? I didn't look around to see who was talking to me. My eyes were closed because He was talking right in here to me. And then you know what God does? God gives you witnesses of what people see in you. Bob Bingaman Jr. was at camp that year. We were down in the dorm going to sleep. I didn't hear anybody's voice until I heard his other than God's. And you know what God said? Listen to this. Bob said, "Hey, everybody, be quiet. Clyde got saved tonight." The Bible says the heavens declare His glory. I'm here to tell you the heaven in you declares it too. It's not afar off. It's not that far from you. It says, the more you obey my words, the more intimate we become. Child, I want the same intimacy with you. Today and every day, set your focus on my words. Consume them like your favorite meal. Follow me by obeying my words. As you follow me, we will become more intimate and you will know that you are one of my sheep. And then it says, I have other sheep that are not in this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. I have several stories to tell you. Here's a good one. I love Charles Stanley. I love the spirit of Charles Stanley. I love the word of God that proceeds out of his mouth. I love Charles Stanley. But because I love the words, I love you. See, because the words that come out of his mouth are the words of life. There's a scripture that says, how can you love them that you don't see if you don't love them that you do? I'm looking right at you. I see all of you. Love every one of you. Well, how can you say, he don't know me? I don't have to know you. The only thing I know is I know the spirit that dwells in me says, I love you. Well, anyway, I want to read something to you because this is a pretty thick book. I'm going to read two paragraphs. I thought I'd scare you a little. Anyway, but listen to this. Charles Stanley wrote this book, and it says The Treasure Works of Charles Stanley. And I'm reading this book, and I'm reading it because he wrote it. I love this guy. And he asked me to do something for 7 days before I get to what he's asked me to do. But he wants a commitment before he tells you what it is. It almost sounds like marriage. Hello. So he's asking me to do this. But because I believe I have a like spirit like him, I said, I'll do it. I jump at it. I'm going, I can't wait to see what he wants me to do. Well, I'm only going to read you two paragraphs. It's actually almost three pages of stuff he wants you to do. But it says, good morning, Lord. Thank you for assuring me of victory today if I would but follow your battle plan. So today I claim victory over, and then you fill in the blank. Now, I don't know about you. I don't have a camera on you every day. This is not secret camera, we're revealing things. But in me, that answer is over self. Because self is my worst enemy. Now, I got to get into this a little bit. Self allows other things to creep in and run, interference with your time with God. When I just heard this morning, early in this morning, God said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Take courage. Be of good courage. It's okay to feel for other people, but God wants you to express the good news of Him through you. When you get to talk to Him on the phone, encourage Him in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a scripture that says, boast not of tomorrow. For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. But do you know what? I refuse not to boast in Him. I boast in Jesus Christ. Something happened this week. Debbie said, now how did that happen? It was due to finances. And to be honest with you, you can look at it a number of ways. But I'm going to tell you exactly what I told my wife. I choose to believe that God ran interference for us on our behalf. Who gets the credit there? I don't ever want to get the credit there. Everything that happens in our life, we should glorify Him, magnify Him. Oh, but you don't know what I'm going through. Let's have this conversation with God. Now you go to Him, and remember, you got to remind Him He don't know what you're going through. Hello. That one. Well. All right, now I'm going to read this other paragraph. To prepare myself for battle ahead, by faith I put on the belt of truth. The truth about you, Lord, that you are a sovereign God who knows everything about me, both my strengths and my weaknesses. By the way, you don't have to apologize for either one of those. Lord, you know my breaking point, and I promise not to allow me to be tempted beyond what I'm able to bear. The truth about me, Lord, is that I'm a new creature in Christ, and I've been set free from the power of sin. I am indwelt with the Holy Spirit, who will guide me and warn me when danger is near. I am your child, and nothing can separate me from your love. Nothing can separate me from your love. The truth is that you have a purpose for me this day. Have I told you I love Charles Stanley? I can't overemphasize that because of the next seven words I'm going to read. Because the truth is that you have a purpose for me this day. I believe I was set here on this earth for this purpose. Someone to encourage, someone to share with, and someone to love. I do all that with her. But you know what? God says, I'm going to expand that. You know why He's going to expand it? Because you want to be used and you want Him to be seen. That's all I'll tell you about that. I hope you hunger for that because it's really, really good. So the deal was, will you do it for 7 days, right? I did it for 65. Margaret, I finally got to what my topic is. And by the way, as the Lord was giving me this topic, He told me, do not apologize for it. I'm the type that I'm not going to be sorry because God told me to do it. So the topic of this is focus. He said, my people have lost their focus. Who do you set your eyes on every day you get up? And no offense, but don't tell me the mirror. Because I know personally, most men don't do that. They should, but they don't. Anyway. Now, I'm going to give you some examples in the Bible of people that have some focus. I got to get all the way to the front to a guy named Noah. I read and studied Noah. I was telling Debbie this morning. I used to take Sunday school classes, and I was talking about the Roach Boys, in case anybody here. Tony and Adam and Eric. And I was telling them, I took them and some other boys down to, I think it was the Holden boys, down to Ross Park. You know where Ross Park is. And I spread them out because I wanted them to know how big the ark was. And I said, see these poles, these telephone poles? It's twice as high as that. And it runs as far as you are up that hill to me. That's how long it was. Of course, now they got to replicate, right, over in Kentucky built. But the thing is, we can't imagine the work it took to do that, to have a vision, to stay focused on doing it when all kinds of people were laughing at him all the time, making fun of him all the time. You know, you don't have to answer this, but it wouldn't take long for some people just to give up and walk away. But you know, he did that for only 8 people, but he did it for all of us. Because I used to tell people, I said, whether you want to admit it or not, we came from Noah too. That's hard to believe, but that's what happened. So Noah was the first one. And then I went to my old buddy, Joseph. How could your own family, after you were obedient by God and told them of a dream that God had given you, become jealous, sell you into captivity? Potter's wife accused you of something you didn't do. All these things, but what an attitude. All these things, he said, oh, yeah, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. My brother and me were talking yesterday, and he talked about the disease going around now. He said, a lot of people don't think God's in that. I believe he's right in the middle of it. For all things were made by him and for him. And without him was nothing made. You know, I should have started out and said, let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit has to say. You know, the only people that do that are the people that know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. You know, you had ears before you knew him. But you got ears of enlightenment when you did. You got to know his, not only his voice, but the way he does things. And now you become more comfortable with the way he does things. But you still need to refocus because you're letting too many things interfere with your walk. And by the way, our walk with God is our testimony of who the Lord is. You got to walk it out. Well, anyway, so Joseph forgave him. I put this where I would look it up. But 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, the 14th verse. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. I mean, if you ever wanted to do something for this world around you and the people that are dying and getting sick and for their families and everything, humble yourself. Set yourself before the living God and see what he'll do. He's waiting for you to call on him. I know he's waiting for them to call. But as an example of the living God living in us, we ought to be that. We ought to be the people that humble themselves. Call on him. I think you'll like this one. I love David. David was a good example of somebody with focus. Remember, a lot of people would say, well, why did David have to face the bear and the lion? Here's the key. You might have had troubles yesterday, and you don't know why you faced them. But I believe God knows the giants in your life that are coming. He did in David's life. He knew that that giant wasn't going to be anything. And plus, you know what that giant did? Giant made a big mistake. He made a big mistake. He come against the God that David worshiped. Big mistake. Big mistake. You can do a lot to your family and everything, but you come against their God. I heard my son-in-law Mark say one time, only God can shut this TV off on Sunday, not want you to watch sports, and you're okay with it. All the men should have been happy about that. Because I know the wives were. It takes God to do something like that. Will he bring it back? That's up to him. I'm going to rest in him. I'm not going to struggle about that. Okay. Now, another guy was, and I love Daniel. And I'm not even going to talk about the lion's den. I'm going to talk about when they went to Daniel, and the king said, okay, tell me my dream, and then tell me the interpretation of my dream. The subject is focus. How focused you think Daniel had to be? This was not a strange area in his life that he had wandered into. I tell you what, from everything we read about Daniel, he'd been focused for a long time. When he refused to eat the king's meat, when he refused to bow to the king's idols, this isn't something that you just decide to do one day. This is something that he practiced. And of course, I personally believe you become what you practice. And I think God does too. But he wants us to focus. By the way, God had told me you wouldn't be too happy with this message. But that's okay. I'm not here to make you happy. I'm here to make him happy. That's how it should be. And then we finally get to Jesus. I'm going to leave off the King of Kings. The one with one thing of going and being obedient unto death, unto the cross, that knew that when he went to the cross, he'd bear all our sins. He'd bear all our cares. What's John 3:16 says? For whoso, what? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not what? Should not what? Wonder what that means. Well, if you look the word perish up, should not die. Now, the night that my mom graduated, that's what I call it, all right, the fireman came up to me, and he was down there and getting ready to give her CPR. And by the way, this is all good. He's getting ready to give her CPR, and he looked up at me and says, you got something to say to me. You know what that was? That was a loosening of the tongue of the Holy Spirit to talk to this man. He was getting ready to hear something he hadn't heard. I said, well, she'd been praying for the last hour that God would come and take her home. That's what's happened. She's happy, therefore I'm happy. You know what he said to his partner? Turn the machine off. They didn't even shock her. Now, I want to tell you, you want to get somebody that talks very free around sailors and everything else, you can tongue-tie them when you get around that, what I just said to you. He's tripping all over himself, puts his arm around me, and says, let's go outside. He don't even want to do it in the room. Let's go outside. I said, okay. He says to me, he said, I don't know how to say it. I'm the type of person that don't really hide my feelings a lot, so I said, say it however you want to. Whom the Spirit has set free is free indeed. And he said, your mother must have been a hell of a woman. Now, I want to tell you something. He meant that for good. And for good's how I took that. I wasn't offended by that because it gave me the opportunity to say, she's not dead, for whosoever believeth in me, though they be dead, yet they're alive. She's just in a different dimension. Things are waiting for us to speak forth. Oscar last week, if you say to that mountain, be moved and cast into the sea, it will be. If you believe in your heart. Hello. And I can't leave out my buddy Paul. Now, I'm trying to describe something to you. Focus now. This is in Ephesians 3. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. First of all, Paul recognized who he was a prisoner of. And your 3 months of captivity, have you recognized who you're the prisoner of? God's ways aren't our ways. He doesn't need our permission to do things. My brother a lot of times will tell me, we'll talk, and he'll go like this. You want God to laugh? Tell him your opinion of something. That is funny. Like we want to tell him this is how you're supposed to do it and all this other stuff. And he goes, you do know I created everything, right? Well, anyway. But it says, first of all, he said he was Paul, and then he said, I'm the prisoner of Jesus Christ, and then he said the reason he was. And it says, for you Gentiles. He's talking about us. He was a prisoner for us. And by the way, real quick, you know when the jailhouse door swung open wide, Paul just sat there? You know when you first got word that you could leave the house and you could go out in the sun? I bet you left the house and went out in the sun. Paul just sat there. Because see, Paul was focused on his mission. His mission was the household of the jailer. We're in a place for God's reason. We don't have to understand it. But I do believe we need to believe it. We need to know that we know that we know. Everyone in the sound of my voice should know. And I'm going to conclude with this. Let me see the hand of God in everything. Brother Eddie used to say that in closing a lot. Of course, he used to sing the song, but he had a voice. But the thing is, I'll tell you a quick story about Brother Eddie. For you that knew him, you'll like it. For you that don't, you still should like it. He was doing our children's wedding. Mark, Oscar, and Margaret's son, is my son-in-law. He's married to my daughter, Joey. And before he pronounced a man and wife, he walked in between them and started singing, Let Me Call You Sweetheart. Is that what he did? That's what he did. Well, let me tell you something. A lot of people say, well, that wasn't planned. Well, first of all, that's right. But I do believe the Holy Ghost planned it. Because, see, the Holy Ghost has a way of witnessing to other people that are of different faiths that he is. And he's a rewarder of them. You know, every one of us in here ought to be waiting for a reward. But in order to get a reward, we need to do something. And today, the God wants you to focus. So I told you the story about Brother Eddie for this. We went to the reception, and a guy I had worked with for over 20 years. Him and his wife came up to me. They said, we have something. And you could see the urgency, that you could hear it in their voice. We have something to say to you. I said, yeah, your pastor. I go, yeah, he's real. Now, you that are sitting out of here that had him for a pastor for a long time, can the same be said about your life? I'm challenging you today. And it starts with focus. We need to return our focus. We need to put the things of fear out the door. In the name of Jesus, fear be gone. And you know what? What's that door swinging like that? Where did that person look? The person's still there, but that door's swinging back and forth. You know why? Because that spirit leaves. There's a story with Jesus when he was walking up to people, and one of them said, why have you come before our time? He was full with evil spirits, and the spirit was talking out of him to Jesus. Why have you come before our time? Even spirits, evil spirits, know they only have a short time. We should make and help to celebrate the shortness of their time. And we can start with this disease that's on this earth now. How many believe the Word of God? See, the Scripture says that nothing shall pluck you out of my hand. And that's God's holding you in his hand. Nothing shall pluck you out. No disease, nothing. I pray that for some of you, the spirit of boldness of Jesus Christ come upon you. To you where you can claim the truth. Because whom the Spirit has set free is free indeed. So I'm just going to ask that you stand up. And Father, in the name of Jesus, from the front of this auditorium to the back, beyond these radio waves, Holy Spirit, go and do that which you want to do. You said, Father, you restore things. And Father, we believe that you restore everything. Because, Father, Jesus did a finished work. He said so on Calvary, and I believe it. It's finished. Let it be finished with anyone that calls upon the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the day of celebration. We thank you for the sunshine. But, Father, we thank you most of all that our focus is on you and you alone. In Jesus' name we pray. And they all said, anyone wants prayer can come forward. If not, have a great day.